A Consecrated Ministry, Part 3, by Ellen G. White. Editorial note. This is the third of a three-part series featuring A Consecrated Ministry, Chapter 34, from the Acts of the Apostles, by Ellen G. White. While the author clearly had Seventh-day Adventist pastors in view when she wrote this chapter, the fact that it was included in a volume with an intended broad audience makes it readily apparent that Ellen White, her editors, and her advisors clearly saw that this chapter has important applications for all disciples of Jesus, particularly elders, deacons, and deaconesses. This chapter highlights the value of a soul, provides valuable counsel about the priorities of life and ministry, and inspires all readers to consecrated, selfless service. It has been reprinted with the permission of the Ellen G. White Estate. The experiences of the Apostle Paul and his instruction regarding the sacredness of the minister's work are a source of help and inspiration to those engaged in the gospel ministry. Paul's heart burned with a love for sinners, and he put all his energies into the work of soul winning. There never lived a more self-denying, persevering worker. The blessings he received, he prized as so many advantages to be used in blessing others. He lost no opportunity of speaking of the Savior or of helping those in trouble. From place to place he went, preaching the gospel of Christ and establishing churches. Wherever he could find a hearing, he sought to counteract wrong and to turn the feet of men and women into the path of righteousness. Paul did not forget the churches that he had established. After making a missionary tour, he and Barnabas retraced their steps and visited the churches they had raised up, choosing from them men whom they could train to unite in proclaiming the gospel. This feature of Paul's work contains an important lesson for ministers today. The apostle made it a part of his work to educate young men for the office of the ministry. He took them with him on his missionary journeys, and thus they gained an experience that later enabled them to fill positions of responsibility. When separated from them, he still kept in touch with their work, and his letters to Timothy and to Titus are evidences of how deep was his desire for their success. Experienced workers today do a notable work when, instead of trying to carry all the burdens themselves, they train younger workers and place burdens on their shoulders. Paul never forgot the responsibility resting on him as a minister of Christ, or that if souls were lost through unfaithfulness on his part, God would hold him accountable. Quote, "Whereof I am made a minister," end quote, he declared of the gospel, quote, "according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." End quote. These words present before the worker for Christ a high attainment, yet this attainment all can reach who, putting themselves under the control of the great teacher, learn daily in the school of Christ. The power at God's command is limitless, and the minister who in his great need shuts himself in with the Lord may be assured that he will receive that which will be to his hearers a savior of life unto life. Paul's writings show that the gospel minister should be an example of the truths that he teaches. Quote, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. End quote. Of his own work, he has left us a picture in his letter to the Corinthian believers. Quote, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and, behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. End quote. To Titus he wrote, quote, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. End quote. There is nothing more precious in the sight of God than his ministers, who go forth into the waste places of the earth to sow the seeds of truth, looking forward to the harvest. None but Christ can measure the solicitude of his servants as they seek for the lost. He imparts his Spirit to them, and by their efforts souls are led to turn from sin to righteousness. God is calling for men who are willing to leave their farms, their businesses, if need be, their families, to become missionaries for him. And the call will be answered. In the past, there have been men who, stirred by the love of Christ and the needs of the lost, have left the comforts of home and the society of friends, even that of wife and children, to go into foreign lands, among idolaters and savages, to proclaim the message of mercy. Many in the attempt have lost their lives, but others have been raised up to carry on the work. Thus, step by step, the cause of Christ has progressed, and the seed sown in sorrow has yielded a bountiful harvest. The knowledge of God has been widely extended, and the banner of the cross planted in heathen lands. For the conversion of one sinner, the minister should tax his resources to the utmost. The soul that God has created and Christ has redeemed is of great value because of the possibilities before it. The spiritual advantages that have been granted it, the capabilities that it may possess if vitalized by the Word of God, and the immortality it may gain through the hope presented in the gospel. And if Christ left the 99 that he might seek and save one lost sheep, can we be justified in doing less? Is it not a neglect to work as Christ worked, to sacrifice as he sacrificed, a betrayal of sacred trusts, an insult to God? The heart of the true minister is filled with an intense longing to save souls. Time and strength are spent. Toilsome effort is not shunned, for others must hear the truths that brought to his own soul such gladness and peace and joy. The Spirit of Christ rests upon him. He watches for souls as one that must give an account. With his eyes fixed on the cross of Calvary, beholding the uplifted Savior, relying on his grace, believing that he will be with him until the end as his shield, his strength, his efficiency. He works for God, with invitations and pleadings mingled with the assurances of God's love. He seeks to win souls to Jesus, and in heaven he is numbered among those who are, quote, called and chosen and faithful, end quote. For bibliographical and biblical references on this article, and for much more content for elders and church leaders, please visit eldersdigest.org.